This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Third and moving at the leaders as they come for the head of the stretch. They're at the head of the stretch, and Cham is the leader. He leads it by a length. Secretariat is in the center of the racetrack and driving. Jackie Green now drops back. Now and they're in the stretch. It's Secretariat. Secretariat on the outside to take the lead. Cham holding in second. It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat. He wins it by 2 lengths.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And here they come into this stretch. The Nuts going on with it, throwing a big race at 25-1. It's the Nuts' first, yield to the Storm at second. In the hot pursuit, here comes Waisata Bay and Habaneros, but they're not going to get to the Nuts. He's done it in shocking fashion here in the Bossaman.
Good racing here at Bonner Park. Race 5 is now underway. They head Combo Tuffy, takes the lead by a length over the one-horse Deep Blue Goodbye and Call Me the Champ. Somebody has lost a jockey. Looks like the six-horse Pillar Starbuck is not running today. The four-horse is now That's All Folks and Deep Blue Goodbye. Battling as they come down the stretch. It's going to be those two as they head to the wire, six ahead. They're six ahead except for the horse that lost the rider, Pillar Starbuck. Head to the wire, and That's All Folks is your winner. The one-horse Deep Blue Goodbye is second. And I'll tell you, right at the wire, that six-horse Pillar Starbuck did not have a jockey on him, but he actually won the race, I think.
Some of the great calls in horse racing history on this day before the 141st Kentucky Derby, but we have got a lot to talk about. It has been, what are you going to talk about? What's going on? What are you doing? Nothing? And it just keeps getting busier. I mean, it's even, you even want to watch a little bit of the NBA playoffs. That's how much there is to talk about today. Kentucky Derby, Gino Bucola is coming up next, folks. Gino gave us commanding curve last year, and we know for a fact that listeners and friends of the show cashed on a variety of tickets, trifectas that paid over $3,000, exactas, and all kinds of things with commanding curve. Plus, he had given us the winner multiple times. Gino Bucola, the TVG Network, will join us in just a couple of moments. So if you have a question, we invite you to email the program, douganddaddy at espnsuperstation.com, douganddaddy at espnsuperstation.com. Our Twitter address is at ESPN 1460 1550. That's at ESPN 1460 1550. Oh, man, you can also email the Dent Popper inbox. You can call us in the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. So that's all part of today. Then we'll have Steve Anderson's picks from Fawner Park. We'll catch up with Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network to talk about the opening night of the NFL draft. What's still ahead? Three Big Ten players were selected yesterday, but none of those were Randy Gregory. What is going on? I mean, we got a heads up yesterday that that might happen, but I was still a little bit surprised, Jimmy, that Randy Gregory didn't go to teams that like to take flyers, Cowboys, Patriots, somebody late in that draft.
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised, but I was not dumbfounded because let's be honest about this. What was interesting was early when we're talking about before Nebraska's season started last year, before they played their first game, Randy Gregory was supposed to be a top five selection. So he has moved really far back. He's went from the top five to hopefully he thinks he's going to be maybe in the top five today. You know, so yeah, that, he's lost some stock. You know, I think really a good play. Nebraska's running back, you know, who's still available. I wonder how far he'll go, Doug. What are you thinking? I mean, do you think Amir Abdullah? I mean, they say he could be as long as the third or fourth round. I think he's the type of player that really helps somebody like the New England Patriots off. They've taken guys like him and win a lot of Super Bowls. You look, I mean, New England Patriots won the Super Bowl last year. How many great players do they have? They got a pretty good quarterback, you know. But, I mean, they win this with the different people, so.
And they specifically talked about Amir Abdullah this morning, and the analysts are just, they're saying, you know, he fumbles a little too much, and his pass blocking isn't great, but there's always a way to pick apart what Amir does, and they compare him to Darren Sproles, and I think the Darren Sproles comparison comes because he's a little bit shorter. He's a little guy. I mean, he's not 6 foot fill in the hole there. Whoever gets Amir, I mean, Rex Burkhead was great. Amir better, and I just think Amir's got a chance. And again, it all depends where you land in the league. And we'll talk about that with Sean Merriman. We'll also talk with Scott Steinbrooks. District soccer gets going. Kearney High soccer coach is going to join us to talk about the districts. They got a nice win yesterday over Millard West to wrap up the regular season. And we've got Fanatics Fantastic Friday Trivia. But right now, speaking of fantastic, he has been almost dead on every time he takes to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Gooda, Jim Langan, we welcome back for the TVG Network our friend Gino Bucola. Happy Kentucky Oaks Day, Gino.
Oh, this is a fun, fun time, guys. So glad to be back with you again. And the key is, like always, so what have you done for me lately in horse racing? We've done good in the past, but we got to make some money for the folks, so they're not going to be happy out there. So my job is to make the fans of the Doug and the Daddy Show a little bit of cash in the next few days.
Exactly, Gino, and that's the deal. We've put all the hype on you now. You hit the home run last year. Now everybody's expecting you to go yard again.
Oh, that's what I want. I'm not going to go yard. I'm going to be Game 7 of the World Series, 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 out. I'm going to hit the game winner for everyone. We're going to go deep Grand Slam time.
Well, let's get – we'll talk Oaks and we'll talk Derby, but I know Big Game James in Grand Island and all the folks that travel and go to a lot of the horse venues, they like to look at the entire card. So let's start today outside of the Oaks. Is there something that you really like?
Yeah, there are a few. We can go to the 7th race. The big bets on the Oaks and the Derby Day are the pick sixes. Everybody gets involved in those pick sixes, $2 wager, and the pick sixes end. They end with the Oaks race, and then they end on Saturday with the Derby. Those are the wagers where you can make 50, 100, 200, 300,000, you know, life-changing type scores. So in race number 7, it's the grade 1 La Troyenne. I'm going to go with the number 7 gold medal dancer who's 9-2 on the morning line. You'll probably get something around that, 4 or 5-1. This is a nice mare who's really starting to figure things out. 2 starts back, she beat a horse named Untappable. Untappable won the Breeders' Cup Distaff last year. She was an Eclipse Award winner, and she's likely the best mare in training, one or number one or number two right now in training. Gold Medal Dancer defeated her. Then she came back in her last start, and she was 3rd behind Untappable. She should have been 2nd, but she had a little bit of trouble. I think this is a really good spot for Gold Medal Dancer. She might be a horse you can single in on in your pick six, or maybe just bet to win if you don't want to play the pick six. A pick five also starts in that race. She's a nice mare, and she'll be one of my strong plays today.
How about in the 9th race, the horse called Haiti or something like that, H-E-I-T-A-I? Yeah, I think that thing's just, it will explode on the turf at 5 furlongs right now. What's your thoughts on there?
Haiti is very, very nice. He's a Louisiana bred, and he looks like the speed of the speed. He is very, very quick. The thing about Haiti is he's an excellent sprinter. He doesn't want to go far. He doesn't want to go a distance of ground. He can't really go past 5, 5.5 furlongs. He definitely can't go 6 furlongs. So if you go through all of Haiti's races, the poor performances, and when I say poor, I'm talking about races where he was 2nd, maybe races where he was 3rd. He never really runs a bad race. Those are races where it looks like the distance is a little too far for him. What happens if you're an owner and a trainer, you have a horse like Haiti, he's very good, he's very fast, he'll win 2 or 3 in a row, then you get a little ambitious and you say, well, I think this horse can run a little bit farther, he can probably stretch it out. You try to go take on a little bit bigger purse and you take on some better horses, and then what happens is you get out of your comfort zone. So he's perfect. From 5 to 5.5, this is where he fits. He's the speed of the speed. He can clear the field. I think this is a great spot for him. And a lot of times you get a better price on High Tie than you should because he's a Louisiana bred. He's not a Kentucky bred horse. We don't have a lot of success stories of Louisiana bred horses. So, you know, many times he's overinflated in the price. If you can get around 4-1 on High Tie, that's a great price. I'll also use in that particular race, the ninth race, the horse drawn way to the outside, undrafted. That's a horse who's owned by Wes Welker, NFL player Wes Welker. Undrafted has raced all over the world, literally was racing overseas and maybe pointed back to racing at Royal Ascot, was fourth in a grade one race. That was a really good field of 13. So I think Undrafted will kind of be at the opposite end of the spectrum. If you play High Tie and Undrafted, it might be fun because High Tie will be flying early and Undrafted will be dead last and probably flying from the back of the pack late. So they're completely opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to their styles.
Talking with Gina Bukola, TVG Network, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for this weekend's activities. Gina, we always mention it at the end, but what's TVG got going on? I know you're going to be on here shortly. It's a big weekend for you guys.
Actually, it's been a crazy few months in the world of TVG. TVG and the other major horse racing network, HRTV, merged. TVG actually purchased HRTV, so now is in charge of both TVG and HRTV. So today, we are, for the first time in a while, able to show you a lot of these races from Churchill on HRTV. I'm actually going to be jumping on in about 15 minutes. I go from 9:30 to 12 Pacific. I take a couple hours off, and then I come back from 2 to 5 for the Oaks and to close things out. So it's we will have coverage all day on both TVG and HRTV. The races will be shown to you live on HRTV in the lead-up to the races at Churchill Downs. So you can get all of the information you need on our website at tvg.com, and that's where you want to make all your wagers. So anyone who's out there who's just joining us and doesn't have the opportunity to get out to a racetrack or wants to play along, even if it's just $5 or $500, tvg.com, that's the website. You can sign up. You can literally be betting in just a few minutes. And if you sign up, feel free to tweet me at GinoTVG, at GINOTVG. Bother me. I'll get back and forth with you. I'll tell you a few horses. If you have any issues or anything, I'll help you out.
Gino, they always want a little long shot. You got a long shot play today.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have a long shot play. I'll give you one in the 10th race. Now, I'm hoping it stays a long shot play. It's a horse named Lavender Chrissy, who's 12-1 on the morning line. There are three or four other horses that are going to take a lot of money. I think Callback, an Enchanting Lady, and Taylor S. will all get bet. So I'm thinking we'll still get around 10-1 on Lavender Chrissy. She's proven at Churchill. This will be right before the Oaks. So we've now taken care of a good amount of the races leading up to the Oaks. She's 12-1. She's only raced three times. Her one poor performance, you could tell she had some kind of a physical issue that day. She was then sent to the bench for a few months. They figured it out. It's West Point Thoroughbreds and Dale Romans. I think Lavender Chrissy is used today in the eight bells. That's race number 10. And then I'll just give you a long shot in the Oaks, too, right next. So we'll go right in from 10 to 11. It won't be my top pick, but a must-use in the exotics at 30-1 is Ocean Wave for Wayne Catalano. Ocean Wave has Rafael Bejarano jumping aboard for Gary and Mary West. This is a horse who's never been worse than third. Was flying at the end of the April 4th race at Oaklawn, which was the fantasy. And this is a horse who looks like she wants to go longer. That's what I like to look for in the Oaks and the Derby when I'm looking for my long shots. I'm looking for horses that may not be able to win, but they're going to be coming from way out of it, and they're going to be picking up pieces late. That's what we went to last year with Commanding Curve, who I didn't think could win, but was a horse who came closing at a really big price and was able to spice up Exactas, Tries, and Supers.
Hey, Gino, you've got almost the pick six dealt for us here. In the eighth race, do we only need to use two horses? That's Honor Code and I think it's Protocono.
Protocono. You know what? I'm going to give you one more.
Give me another one.
I think there's a third horse that we might need to include. Those are the two horses to beat, no doubt about it. And Honor Code is a very, very nice horse. He tried to get involved in the Kentucky Derby as a three-year-old, but he had a lot of physical issues. He just couldn't make it into the starting gate. I like the nine a little bit. On paper, there just is not a lot of speed. There are not a lot of horses whose best running style are going to the lead early on. A lot of these like to drop back and make one late run. I think Noble Bird could take advantage of that. This is a horse who has won two races in a row, who beat a really nice horse at Keeneland named Top Billing. I think he gets the lead, and they might be going very slow early on. He could get brave up front. So I'm going to use the two horses that you mentioned, the two and the 7, and I'll include the 9, Noble Bird, who's 15-1 on the morning line. Could be a big price, and that's the kind of separator in a pick 6. You get one horse in your pick 6, that's 10-1 or 15-1. Doesn't matter if you get favorites all the way through. You're already sitting on $20,000, $30,000.
Pocket change, Jimmy. Just pocket change for you. A little flash money for you. Gino Vocola, the TVG Network. Okay, let's finish up Friday. Let's get to the Oaks. We had Michelle Hughes with us yesterday, and she says she hardly ever likes to ride on the favorite, but she thinks that Stellar Wind might actually be able to get it done.
Well, you know what? Then we may be pounding Stellar Wind, because I'm the same way. You guys know me. I don't love to give you the chalk. And I actually don't think Stellar Wind will be favored. She's a horse from California for a barn who does really well in California but doesn't do well outside of California, John Sadler. So I wouldn't be shocked if she floats up. She's 7-2 on the morning line, 3.5-1, which if you're betting a favorite, that's really not even that bad as a favorite. I think she goes off more like 9-2, 5-1, and if that's the case, I'm going to bet her. Her last few races have been unbelievable. Visually, she's getting better and better. She made this move in her last race. She was hooked wide, and she started from about the midpoint and made this sustained move. And when she hit the top of the stretch, when they straightened out, she had every reason to just be tired and stop. But she kicked into another gear. She is really figuring things out. She's peaking at the right time. I think she's the horse to beat. So for me, I'm actually going to single her in the pick 6, which will enable me to use a couple other horses in some of the races leading up. And then what I can do is I can come back and play some other exotic wagers that include Stellar Wind with Bird at the Wire and Puka. For me, the 4 horses that I would be using are the 10, 12, 13, and 14. And that means I'm going to be tossing out some of the real logical horses. Does that mean I don't like them? No, it's just you can't use them all on these kind of days. You have to kind of narrow down the horses you like most and hope that it's your day. And we've been pretty lucky in the last few years. So a horse like Lovely Maria, I'm a Chatterbox, they're both in great form. Neither one of them would surprise me. Condo Commando likes to win. I just think Stellar Wind is the right horse. There's a lot of speed in here. I think distance should be no issue. She's peaking at the right time. And if she wins this race, Victor Espinoza is aboard her. We remember Victor Espinoza, the rider of California Chrome last year. He's also the rider of American Pharoah, who's the morning line favorite. So it could be a massive weekend for Victor Espinoza. He is literally installed as the morning line favorite in both the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby.
Gino, you're probably going to make Chris and Carney happy because he wants to know about Puka and include Betty.
Puka, I like quite a bit, and I don't expect Puka to be a big price. I think Puka will get bet down a little bit. She's always had a big reputation, and she's going to win a big race. She's been unlucky because most of her races are either at speed-favoring tracks or she faces fields where they don't have a lot of speed in them, and her style is to sit back and make one late run. So her style is really enhanced when you have a couple horses who are going to go to the front end early on and they're going to battle. And that's what will happen in a race like the Kentucky Oaks. It's a field of 14. They're traveling a mile and an eighth. These fillies have not gone this far ever. So a lot of them are going to be getting tired late. They're going to be closer early on than normal. I think Puka is a must-use. And for that very same reason, I would not talk you off Include Betty as far as the second, third, and fourth spot. I'm not sure if Include Betty is quite good enough to beat some of the top of these fillies, but she would not surprise me finishing second, third, or fourth because her running style really will play well to the way that the race shapes up on paper.
I think that Oaks could really, I mean, he likes a lot of these horses, and so did Michelle yesterday, and so do a lot of them. It could be an interesting one. We better get to Saturday before we run out of time. Gino, before the Derby tomorrow, what's a race or two we need to watch? What do you like on Saturday?
Okay, I'm going to give you a price. In race number 5, that's the Pat Day Mile. What they've done now is they used to run a race called the Derby Trial a week before the Kentucky Derby, and it was like a last chance for any horses who didn't have Derby points or Derby money to get in. They've changed it around a little bit, and they've run the Derby Trial now as the Pat Day Mile, which is kind of cool because there are some horses that weren't quite good enough to get into the Derby. There are some nice 3-year-olds who get a chance to be in a big stakes race on Kentucky Derby Day right here. The Truth or Else is one of those. The Truth or Else is 15-1 on the morning line for Ken McPeak with Joel Rosario aboard. We remember Joel, he won the Derby on Orb a few years back. The Truth or Else comes out of a couple races where he was right behind American Pharoah. Now, you look at those races and you see he was beaten 15 and 10 lengths. everybody was beaten 16 and 10 lengths by American Pharoah. American Pharoah won that race by 8. So you look back and you kind of dig a little bit. If you put a line through his last two races, you can just excuse them and say he was facing perhaps the best three-year-old and perhaps the winner of the Derby. I think this is a much better spot for the Truth or Else. He cuts back in distance. A lot of these horses have speed, very similar to the way I was just talking about the Kentucky Oaks. On paper, it looks like it's going to set up for the Truth or Else to sit back and launch a big late rally. This horse will be flying late. We're going to hope that horses like Gimme Dilute, Hillbilly Royalty, and Competitive Edge all go and push each other on the front end, and the Truth or Else and Joelle will be flying. Hopefully we can get around 10-1 or so in race 5, and that'll really pad the bankroll tomorrow so we can have a lot of ammo for the Derby.
Well, let's do it, Gino. Gino Bucola, TVG. We're getting to Churchill's Downs, race number 11, the big granddaddy of them all, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. We've been good. You've been good. We've just had you on the air to tell everybody about it. Is it American Pharoah, or are we going elsewhere?
This year's going to be it's a little bit of a different year for me. I've for the first time played some future wagers. Back in January, I was in Vegas and having some fun, and I went to the Wynn. I played 4 or 5 horses, 100-to-win on at big prices, and American Pharoah was one of them. It was 25-to-1 at the point, and I said, "Wow, I know if he was injured." And I said, "If he gets into the starting gate, there's no way this horse is going to be 25-to-1." So most years, I would not tell you go bet the Derby favorite. This year's a little bit different because I'm rooting for the Derby favorite because whereas he might go off at 2-to-1, I'm sitting on a 25-to-1 ticket. I also have a future wager on El Kabir and Mr. Z, and a bit of news. El Kabir had a bruised foot this morning. He's a little bit tender. He might be scratching. El Kabir is ridden by Calvin Burrell and is one of three for the Zayats at the same family that owns American Pharoah. So they may be scratching the horse tomorrow morning. They're working on him today. They're going to see tomorrow morning how he is. The owner said, if it's even close, we're not going to worry. We're going to scratch him. We're not going to push it. So we'll find out tomorrow about El Kabir. It's looking like he will not be running. So there will be likely a scratch, and that will mean the horse who draws in from the outside is now Tale of Verve, who could be another also eligible that gets into the race. We just don't know. I just don't know from a pace standpoint. I love American Pharoah. I'm rooting for him. There is a ton of speed. I like the way he's drawn. I like where he's at. So I wanted to be straight up so all the folks know. I'm rooting for American Pharoah because I'm sitting on a nice ticket. Does that mean it's always smart to bet American Pharoah to win in the Derby? No. I don't really think it's smart to bet horses to win so much in the Derby. I like to play more of trifectas and superfectas and exactas. So I think this is where you can get big prices in. So my goal now is to try to hook up 2 or 3 really good prices with American Pharoah. Last year, California Chrome was the favorite. He won, but we saw with a favorite that wins and commanding curve, a big price underneath, you can still get really, really good exotics. So the long shot that I'm going to give you, if people don't want to play the favorite, and maybe you play this horse to win, is Danzig Moon. I'm a big fan of Danzig Moon. I think this is a horse who was really under the radar. I know his connections pretty well. Mark Cassie is his trainer. His son is Norman. He's young. I've spoken to Norman a few times, had a couple beers with him out at Delta Downs for the Delta Jackpot. We talked about some of his horses, and I'll go back and forth, and he's really liked this horse who's been under the radar. He just won his first race back in February, and then he tried Graded Stakes Company, and he's lost 2 times to a horse named Carpe Diem. In both of those races, Carpe Diem has really got a perfect trip. He's been able to sit right behind a horse who's on the lead and was able to move early on speed-favoring racetracks that didn't really benefit Danzig Moon. I think the additional distance will help this horse. I think he's racing. I think he's training really, really well right now at Churchill from everything that I've heard. He's a little bit of a buzz horse on the backside. I think he's a horse that you have to play in all of your exotics. So in any exacta, tri, super, I'm playing. Danzig Moon at 30-to-1 is on all of my tickets. He's kind of like my 1A horse. I'm rooting for American Pharoah. I think he's the horse to beat. I think if any horse wins the Derby that has a chance to win the Triple Crown, American Pharoah is the most likely of those. So I think the sport is always rooting for the best horse because then it'll be fun for us for the next month and a half as we hope to get to a Triple Crown. But if you're just looking for the bomb, if you're looking for a horse who could get the trip, I think it's Danzig Moon at a massive price.
Gina, we just have a minute left for both of us because I know you need to get going, so let's hit a couple more. And by the way, Danzig Moon is the 5 horse, folks. We talked a little bit on the show yesterday. A lot of people like Carpe Diem, but don't like the draw. We talked yesterday about Materiality, who has been lightly raced but is undefeated. Just a quick thought, can they get it done from where they're at?
I honestly don't think so. I think Todd Pletcher kind of forced his hand yesterday. He scratched one of his other horses named Stanford, and the reason why he scratched him, I think, is because Stanford has speed, and Stanford only can go to the front. Now, with Carpe Diem and Materiality drawn in post two and post three, they are forced to go. Because what happens is, if you don't show a lot of early speed and get a very good position early on, with 18 horses to your outside, they all try to get over to the rail, and the horses to the inside get stuck and shuffled back, and they have brutal trips, usually horses in post one, two, and three. I think it's going to force Carpe Diem and Materiality to go faster than they want early on. I think it'll compromise the race for both of them. I won't really be using much of them in any of my exotics, maybe on the bottom of some, but definitely not on the win end for me. I think Carpe Diem is one of the shorter price horses that I play against, and I don't want to not mention Dortmund. He's a freak of nature. He's massive. He's unbelievable. He's perfect. He's 6 for 6. It really could be a Bob Baffert Derby, so I'm thinking of doing something like playing American Pharoah, Dortmund, and Danzig Moon as my three top horses in exactas, trifectas, and supers, and then using some other prices underneath. But those top two horses, American Pharoah and Dortmund, they really do look to be a cut above the rest this year.
You know what, Gino, I'm going to play two separate tickets, you know, thinking that I have a race, and the Dortmund race is one of them, and if I use Dortmund, I have to use Firing Line with that group. Do you agree with that, or am I completely wrong? Because I think Firing Line maybe thought they could pull away and win by 3 or 4 lengths, and Dortmund got perfect trips that day, came up the rail, and beat him by a nostril, or maybe, you know, I mean, a head bob anyway. What's your thoughts on Firing Line? No chance at all, or is it okay to use him?
I would not talk you off Firing Line. He has Gary Stevens aboard, who's looking to win another Kentucky Derby. He's been there. He's done that. You have the best pilot to win a Derby on your back, Gary Stevens. So I feel like Firing Line, after losing to Dortmund two times in a row, and it was such a tough battle. It was like getting just knocked out, hit right in the mouth at the end. It's almost one of those things where I felt like he might have gotten zapped a little bit, and I was wrong. He came back and he won by 14 lengths. So I've been a little bit off on my assessment so far of Firing Line. I don't love him. Does that mean I don't think he can win? He's, to me, in the middle. I don't think he's a toss, but I don't necessarily use him as one of the top contenders. But the one part about the Derby is I'm going to give you all the advice I can, and hopefully I can help you out. But if you're out there listening and you like a horse for any reason at all, this is the day to go bet it, 10, 20, 100, because you're going to get prices today and tomorrow that you don't normally get. So more than anything, have fun with it. Remember, that's what we're doing. Get to TVG.com, and if you need anything at all, find me on Twitter, @GINOTVG. I'd love to go back and forth with you guys.
American Pharoah, Dortmund, the long shot, Dancing Moon. Does that cover it, Gino?
Yeah,
it's a deep
those
race.
Are the three that I'm rooting for, and American Pharoah, if you see him winning, you know that I got about 10 times the price that he went off at, so it'll be a big grin on this Italian face.
All right, Gino, go get some makeup on and get on TV, okay?
I'm ready to rock, guys. You have a great one. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Talk to you in a couple weeks. Always appreciate it, Gino. Thanks, man. Gino Bacola, TVG Network. That's everything I hope that, I wanted to extend our talk with Gino because if he's bringing you home $3,500 tickets, he's worth the time.
That's right, and he did last year. Doug, you know, when did he give us four horses or three? Because I jumped in there and asked him about Fireland. Did he give us a fourth horse? Because he gave us American Pharoah, Dancing Moon, and Dortmund. Did he give us a fourth horse or not?
He liked Carpe Diem, but he didn't like him in the slot he was at.
Okay.
He talked about a lot of horses.
And, right.
But he talked about a lot of those horses where he was going to put them on the bottom of the
right.
ticket.
These
and by
the
bottom of
the
ticket,
top.
Guys, he's saying American Pharoah and Dortmund, and he's keying those. He's saying, okay, they're going to win in place, and then I'm going to use about six other head to say that they're going to hit third or fourth if he's going for a try or a super.
Correct. That's what I got, too.
We have to take a break. We're going to get a quick comment from Steve Anderson at Fauner Park, and then we're going to move on to talk NFL draft and Big Ten football with Sean Merriman. Plus, we'll wrap up the show later with Scott Steinbrick of Kearney High talking about district soccer and Fanatics trivia. It's all coming up.
You know that smell of fresh soil and the anticipation of going shopping to fill your flower beds and gardens? Welcome to Digger's Green Thumb in Kennesaw. Diggers would like to invite everyone into their greenhouse. Now open from 11 to 7 weekdays and 9 to 5 weekends. Stop in and pick out all of your garden plants, onions, and seed potatoes, and don't forget the garden ornaments. Diggers Greenhouse, one block south of the tracks on South Smith in Kennesaw. We know how your garden grows with plants from Diggers.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Well, see considerable cloud cover and some sunny breaks at times today with a few isolated showers and thunder showers around as well. With a high of around 70, winds will stay to the south. Tonight, we'll head down to 53 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Frondly. Right now it's 61.
Shake your money maker like somebody about to pay you. I see you on my radar. Don't you act like you were afraid of she.
You know I got it. If you want to come get it, stand next to this.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, farmers, the 2015 irrigation season here. I'm seeing you out planting. There's so much going on, but it's that time. It's May 1st. You want to be in the field. You want to be done, but I know you're all out there. And when you get done putting in the hard work, putting the crop in, make sure you've got the right irrigation system. And that's TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. If you have been just worried or all of a sudden you're getting ready to hook up and you go, uh-oh, TNL is ready to go for you. See your local TNL dealer or TNL, TLIRR.com. That's the website, TLIRR.com. They're like no other. They take care of you with safety issues, low maintenance. So they're very reliable. And, you know, you don't need me to tell you that. Just look at all the TNLs that are out in the fields now. That'll tell you the answer. That'll tell you the story. They're like no other at TNL Irrigation. Well, we had a bomb of a show yesterday. Talked to a ton of people over at Bandits, and Steve Anderson was my co-host, but we wanted to give Steve, the voice of Fodder Park, just another 24 hours-ish to handicap the Kentucky Derby. But before we do that, we've got the core starter allowance tomorrow. We got a couple more days of racing. Steve-O, are you ready?
I'm down on my three-point stance. Can't those folks watching on the radio see that?
I just hope you can get up.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Gino McCullough is a tough act to follow, guys. Jimmy, I got writer's cramp here now. I've been trying to write down everything he gave us today and tomorrow at Churchill Downs. Can you capsulize it in 30 seconds or less, what he just told us?
Hey, what I was trying to do is I was going to write. I'll tell you what's amazing about it. You know, when you talk to people, and some are so positive. When I like a horse, I'm still only about 60%. So when I talk to you and say, who do you like, Jimmy? Yeah, you kind of like this one. But these guys are so positive. You think, my God, I got to bet this. They're 22-1 shots. And I'm thinking, God, this will be easy. You know, who's going to win the pick three? I'm not even worrying about getting a win, place, or show on the horse because they're so positive about it. But you know what? I've listened to these guys before, and not every day do I come out winning. You know what I'm saying? So let's be honest about that. Yeah. They're just like all other handicappers. They're completely off sometimes.
Well, they're quick to hit the delete button. We all are, Jimmy, because we got to do it all over again tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly right. Hey, thanks for the little beep you gave me the other day when I kind of got involved in that handicapping contest late. Made a little move there, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were up to $800 and some, and I know guys like you like to lay in the weeds, so to speak, and then, you know, pounce down the stretch, and I slowly saw you, not slowly, quickly, you fell off the leaderboard. What happened in that contest?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I waited till that race, Steve, and I used the 4 and the 7 in first and second, you know, because they were both about 17-1 shots, and played them with, you know, all the horses I thought had a chance, and turning for home, the 4 and the 7 were in the lead, if you can remember the race. You know, and then the 10 came from way on the outside, and the 5 killed me right at the end, or I'd have had that try twice.
Oh, it sounds like my poker and golf stories, guys.
Yeah.
They're interesting to us.
Yeah. That was a signer, by the way. I wrote the story this morning in the local paper about the guy that won that particular event last Sunday. He walked off Jimmy with over $6,500. These winner-take-all contests are suicidal in my mind. Not my cup of tea, quite frankly. I was tickled to death that I was ineligible to play because I'd have gone out early. But that 10 horses, Mass and Energy out of Chuck Turkle's barn, is the one that won it all for Scotty Lane. He absolutely, there's a guy that doesn't know how to read the racing form. This is what's so great about horse racing. I rarely seen pick up a program. Now, he likes to just bump into acquaintances that he knows are associated with the horses. In this case, Zach Mader, one of the owners of Mass and Energy, actually put a ticket in that was unused that Scott Lane kind of rode in on the coattails of. He was the last guy to get in the contest and then just sat all day and waited to bet Zach's horse, since he was the one that was responsible for whether he made any money or not, and the rest is history.
Steve Anderson, track announcer, Fauner Park, post time 3 today, 1:30 tomorrow. That'll wrap up the live racing season. Steve-O, who you got in the Derby tomorrow?
Well, we discussed this yesterday morning, and you know, I love it when all the so-called experts, including Gino, have totally discounted that post position with materiality. What they don't talk about, guys, and it amazes me, is collectively you got the best riders in the world going to the post simultaneously in the church in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, Javier Castellano, I consider easily in the top three. Jim, I don't know if you disagree or not.
Agree.
And he gets aboard materiality for Todd Pletcher is that Johnny Velasquez gets off materiality to run another Pletcher horse, Carpe Diem. But I've drawn a line in the sand. I'm a firm believer the buyer speed rating figures, and you look at materiality. And yes, he's only run 3 races, and yes, and they've all come as a 3-year-old, and nobody that has not run as a 2-year-old has won the Derby since, what did we decide on yesterday, Doug? 1884 when Apollo won. I mean, those are tough stats to overcome, but it looks like we're guaranteed, and I know you like materiality too, Doug, of a nice price on this horse, and if you look at his trouble lines, he comes off of the high buyer in the race with 110, and he had to do it with nothing but trouble last time out. He was in trouble 2 times before that. I think the expertise and the terrific riding ability of Castellano gets this horse up towards the front early on without using a whole lot of him. And I can't wait for this race to come around because he's really been discounted as of that post position.
Is that your winner?
My winner is materiality to get the job done over American Pharoah and Dortmund. I honestly have to tell you guys that we're so busy out here during the prime of all these stepping stone races to the Derby that I visually haven't got to watch too many races that these 3-year-olds have turned in over the last 3 or 4 months. So I'm strictly going by the numbers here. They've worked off and on over the years. It's been a while since I've been this cocksure, but I'm really looking to make a score for the first time, and I'm gonna get my bankroll out, Jim. I'm gonna put it on the line. Materiality breaks from the 3-hole. I think gets the job done. You got to use both Baffert horses on those exotic tickets, which I kind of steer away from. I'm a horizontal kind of player. I like the pick 3s, the pick 4s, 5s, and 6s. So I'm always going in that direction. And Materiality will be my key horse in there as well. I think there's a couple other shooters in there that I'm going to use because they've fallen off the radar screen, and yet they still have the numbers that look like they're going to be major players. I think Upstart is one of those. He's 15-1 on the morning line, and the other is Frosted. So sandwiched around those two backward horses, you got my top five, but I think Materiality at the end of the day is going to be the best three-year-old of the bunch.
Should be beautiful weather for local racing. Should be a great day for the Oaks and the Derby. Steve-O, you may see one or more of us sometime this weekend, buddy, okay?
Well, the door is always open. I hope I do. You know, the big news tomorrow is in that Coors starter allowance, it's the final race for the Nuts. And, boy, I'll tell you what, at 11 years of age, he really looks like he's back on the top of his game. Now, he's running against $5,000 claimers. Nobody's going to take him at this stage of his career, but he absolutely toe-roped the field here a few weeks back, and I talked to his trainer, Stephen Hall, the other day, and he's really excited about closing out a storied career. The Nuts won Bosselman back in 2008, and that was a mile and a 16th, so they go a mile and an eighth tomorrow. But he's going up against a horse called Boss Hog, who I think between the two of them, they're a solid 1-2 play in the second to the last rate of the meet. I can't wait for that as well.
Well, maybe as long as he doesn't have to race against Combo Tuffy. Steve, we got a roll. We got another one coming up on deck here. So we'll see you this weekend, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Hey, and always a pleasure on our end as well. And as always, we can't wait to see both you and Jimmy and your listeners at the races.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Anderson, Fonner Park, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Merriman going to join us here from the Big Ten Network in just a moment. We have time to tell you about a great lunch spot, a great time, any time for a sandwich is at Big Daddy's Deli in Hastings, 610 East South Street, just across from Duncan Field. Want to remind you, Hastings baseball comes up at 12 noon on 1230 KHAS, and we will have all that for you, Mike Will, with the elimination game against Dome. But sit back, listen to the game, or wherever you're headed today, enjoy a great sandwich. All sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun. Of course, your choices of cheese, vegetables, condiments. You can get a combo meal with fruit cup, chips, side salads, soups available. They've got desserts, cookies, and a whole lot more. And for special occasions like graduation or just sitting there watching the NFL draft or watching the Derby or whatever it is you want to sit back and enjoy, maybe just to listen to the storm tonight on the Breeze 94.5, Big Daddy's also offers meat and cheese trays and special sandwiches. Check it out. You can't go to Big Daddy's and get the same sandwich. You could go for 100 years, and you could always get something different at Big Daddy's Deli across from Duncan Field in Hastings. Well, let's turn our attention now to the NFL draft. Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Sean, thanks for the time. Happy May Day to you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to talking with you.
Let's just get this off the board. What the hell happened to Randy Gregory? I mean, just in about 36 hours, he falls from the 12th pick, and he had slid a little bit. But as some of the folks said today, marijuana, the weed, as they said on Twitter, the weed doesn't drop you from 12 to 45.
Yep, yeah, exactly. It was a bit shocking, but I think that, you know, you're right. Just because of a positive marijuana test at the combine, which truthfully isn't all that rare, that does not drop you this far. There have been reports swirling that there are some issues that go fairly far beyond that. Some people believe that they are protecting them because of medical privacy laws. What it might be, there's been suggested rumors that it has something to do with potential social anxiety, and that might be the reason for the marijuana. I have no idea whether that's true. I'm not in those circles that would know that, but these are rumors that I've heard, and people are saying that teams are very scared off by that. I've heard, reports that teams have actually taken him off their draft boards altogether, even if he's available, midway through the second round or the third round. I've also heard that during his interviews, several teams asked him about when the last time it was that he'd smoked marijuana, and he, blatantly lied to them, and that turned them off. So there's a lot of issues going on there. I don't think that anyone, truly knows. It's maybe a few people, but not many people know how serious or what they really are. But it does seem clear that there are some issues going on off the field outside of just the marijuana use.
So with all that being said, Sean, do you see him going in round two? Who would be somebody that would take that chance? We're sitting here in Nebraska hoping to see a first-rounder, and Dallas has done crazy things, and New England never seems to be scared to do anything. What are we looking at today?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, both of those two teams that you just mentioned were two that kind of come to mind on teams who GMs don't shy away from taking chances like that. You know, and in addition to that, it has to be a good fit. Gregory's a little undersized to probably play on the defensive line right away. Most teams have him tagged as being a potential outside linebacker. He played a lot of defensive end in college, so that might be a bit of an adjustment. But I think it has to be a fit scheme-wise. But, you know, it really comes down to how comfortable the teams feel about this and, you know, how their interviews went with him. And some teams obviously took exception to some things he said. So really comes down to the comfort level and if he fits their system. I would personally be shocked if he lasted many picks into beyond the second round. I think he should go at the first couple picks in the second round. But who knows, you know? We've seen guys like this kind of take a free fall before and just keep falling. So, you know, him and Randy Gregory and Amir Abdullah are both guys that, you know, a Nebraska fans could potentially hear at the second, maybe third round for Abdullah. So I think that he will get called. It's just a matter of how far and who's willing to, you know, take a chance on him.
Yeah, you brought up Amir. Go ahead and go on a little bit longer about Amir and where you think he might go.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the teams that I've seen some of the major, more reputable mock drafts having Abdullah go to, which I think makes an ideal fit, is Detroit. They lost Reggie Bush. A lot of people look at Abdullah as kind of a change of pace back, a guy who can come in, catch the ball out of the backfield, make some plays, but probably not be an every down back his rookie year in the league. And that's something that Detroit's kind of looking for. They take, you know, middle way through the first round. So that's a potential landing spot. And then there's some other teams that we thought might go for a running back in the first round. Melvin Gordon got picked way before I think a lot of people expected him. So you look at teams like Dallas or Baltimore, some teams like that that need a running back to complement who they have right now that could also look at Abdullah. So right now, Mel Kiper actually lists Abdullah as his best available running back on the board. I think it's either Abdullah or another Big Ten guy in Tevin Coleman. So you can see both of those guys potentially go somewhere midway through the second round, maybe towards the end, and maybe early in the third round.
Well, we're biased towards Amir. I just think he could hold up better than Tevin could. But as far as we're always rooting for I'm a Cowboy fan, and everybody kind of roots. The Cowboys never get a Husker to play for them. And it seems like the Redskins and the Lions over the last few years, they're the ones that I don't know what the deal is. And it's surprising now with Bill Callahan in Washington if they would take any of the Huskers, even though that's long removed. But that's where Brandon Scherff goes. Here's a great guy. We've got a chance to interview multiple times here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He is going to be a stud. Unfortunately, it's going to be with the Redskins.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, looking at some of the more reputable mock drafts, a lot of them had him going kind of in the 6 to 10 range. So for him to go as a top 5 pick there to Washington, that's a great story. The kid's going to be, like you said, a lot of people believe he's going to be an all-pro offensive lineman for years to come, whether that's at the tackle spot or the guard spot. You know, one of the things that I think makes him so attractive is his versatility to be able to either play either tackle position or move inside and play a guard position. So, you know, Washington, unfortunately they are in the same division as your Cowboys, but I think, like you said, that kid's going to have a lot of success. And he is a great kid as well. I've had the chance to interview him as well, and really, really a good kid that, you know, gets it and should have a long career in the NFL.
Yeah, I got a quick question, and probably, you know, if you could do it with a quick answer, that'd be great. The offensive tackles that they're taking right now, it seems like in the draft they're taking these offensive tackles to protect quarterbacks more than for running games, more for the, you know, let's be honest about this. They're not taking these offensive tackles because they want to get a 2-yard plunge or a 3-yard plunge. They're doing this to protect these fast defensive ends or these backers that can go in there and blitz. Your thoughts on the offensive tackles that they're taking now and how fast and how high they're going in the draft?
Yeah, and, you know, I think part of it, honestly, is the way that the NFL is played today. We see more and more vicious hits on quarterbacks, more and more, and the NFL is doing all they can to protect them. So, yeah, you need to have those big guys, you know, left tackle, they say, is the quarterback's best friend. So, yeah, we've seen a couple come off the board so far. I think there's a few solid ones left. But really, this wasn't really a top-heavy draft at tackle, per se. It's more about depth on the offensive line as a whole. So I think you'll see some more guys come off the board today and potentially, like Scherf, maybe play some guard in addition to tackle in the NFL.
Just another minute here with Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network. The other two Big Ten players, Trey Waynes, the corner out of Michigan State, who Nebraska is very familiar with. This kid's going to Minnesota. They're even more familiar with Melvin Gordon, who I think could be a superstar with the San Diego Chargers. I think that's a great fit for him. I don't know about Waynes in Minnesota, but just your thoughts quickly on those two.
Yeah, absolutely. So Waynes was... You know, he was a kid that, just like Darquez Denard, had a very similar story, was not a highly touted kid out of high school, went to Michigan State, and, you know, as Nebraska fans know, Mark D'Antonio does an outstanding job developing his defensive backs. Trey Waynes, no exception. So I think that, you know, he played his way into being the top defensive back prospect in this NFL draft. So, you know, he had the fastest speed of anyone at the combine. I think that he'll have a successful career. And Melvin Gordon, you know, even though Nebraska fans know what he did to him this year, but despite that, it's tough to root against this kid. You saw him at the draft. He's smiling. He's laughing. Kid could not be happy. He gets to go play in San Diego where it's sunny 350 days of the year, top 15 pick, three of them in the Big Ten. So I think both of them should have success and really great stories as they actually grew up, went to high school together, and are best lifelong friends, which was a great side note for the draft.
Besides the Huskers, we talked about Sean. Who's a couple of Big Ten guys that should go in this second round?
Yeah. You know, in addition to Gregory and Abdullah, I think you could see a lot of Big Ten players potentially go in the second round. We talk about a couple defensive tackles, Carl Davis from Iowa, Michael Bennett from Ohio State. I think we could see the first tight end go off the board, Max Williams from Minnesota. A lot of people like him, and there's some teams out there that need a tight end. And then there's some other guys that you could look at. There's some running backs as well. David Cobb, Kevin Coleman, Jeremy Langford. The Big Ten was absolutely stacked at running back this past year. We could see a couple of those guys come off the board pretty soon here. So I think we'll see a lot of Big Ten names called in the second and third rounds here tonight.
Mayweather or Pacquiao?
Got to go with Floyd Money Mayweather. Looking forward to it. First pay-per-view fight I think I've ever considered ordering.
Well, we got a lot going on. So, Sean, thanks for squeezing us in a little bit. Enjoy the rest of the draft. We'll talk again soon on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Absolutely, yeah. It should be a great sports weekend. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Sean. There's so much going on. We appreciate Sean for joining us. And I hope whatever the deal is with Randy Gregory, he just – surprises, I guess. Now it's amazing his little soap opera story that's going on and being played out in the media. So hopefully he plays for a team that isn't in the Cowboys division, unless it's Dallas. Our Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, folks. May is here, and Midway is clearing out the last few 2014 models, and you can also get 0% APR for 60 months on their 2015 Chevy Cruze, Malibu, Traverse, Impala, and why not a Camaro. Qualified credit, Midway GM. For details, we'll give you everything you need to know. You can check out their full inventory, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. And did you know that if you currently own a 1999 or newer GM vehicle, you could qualify for up to $2,500 in loyalty cash off of a new 2015 Silverado 1500, or $1,000 loyalty cash off a new 2015 Silverado HD, Tahoe, or Suburban. Plenty of ways that the manufacturers are even giving you more ways to save than the hassle-free prices that they have every single day at the Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When we come back, we're going to get back to the local scene, a little high school note. District soccer begins Monday. We'll get a preview with Kearney boys coach Scott Steinbrook after this.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a Custom Pack of Hastings get USDA Select Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $8.98 a pound. Deli Homestyle Potato Salad, only $1.77 a pound. And 2 to 3 pound individual pork baby back ribs, just $3.44 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on a Friday. Happy May, everybody. It's time for our Midtown Bar Cooler Question. Midtown Bar of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. It's always 50-50 when it comes to talking horse racing, when it comes to talking a variety of different sports. But horse racing is one of them, golf's one of them, tennis is one of them, and that's right where we were, right down the middle of whether you were looking forward to the Kentucky Derby this weekend. I'm guessing we might have a few more that love the NFL draft. Are you enjoying the NFL draft? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question. ESPNSuperstation.com is way to go. So Scott Steinbrook, Kearney High soccer coach, set to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be chatting with him momentarily. We've got Fanatics Friday trivia, and we will have all of that coming your way momentarily. We'll run down the rest of the sports. Of course, the Tri-City Storm will be battling in games 3 and 4 coming up tonight and tomorrow, and you can hear all that on the Breeze 94.5. So should be able to enjoy that. Nebraska Danger playing tomorrow, but you're taking the night off.
Yeah, I am. I'm taking the night off. I think they play tomorrow. I think
or tomorrow.
They play
tomorrow.
Yeah, I do not have that game. You know, I work in my next game's May 23rd. Last year I worked 6, and this year I'm working 5. You know, it's not good to work all 8. Let's be honest about that. If you're working all 8 games, you know, that was the same thing when I worked the Nebraska Cranes. They got 20 games, but, you know, you can't work all 20. They get tired of you, and you get a little tired of them, I think, yeah.
The Cranes, they were awesome. They were awesome.
Well, they were fun. They're a pretty good product. We just didn't have very many people attending them, you know.
So the Bulls and Bucks, I'm telling you, I was watching all that last night, and I switched over, and an NBA game in the playoffs was 84-38. 84-38, and they go on and crush that whole thing.
It was 120-66, I think, was the final. But the good one, you knew when I talked about it, is the Spurs and the Clippers. Man alive, is that a great first-round series, those two. And being able to win on the other team's floor, you know, no matter where they play at. I've never seen a team's, you know, I think both teams have won 2 games on the opposing team's floor. San Antonio is only playing 3 games at home, and they went 1-2 at home. And they're the defending NBA champions, Doug.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, they're 1-2 at home. And, you know,
and that's going on tomorrow night, and everybody else can be paying attention to everything else.
Yeah, well,
are you fired up for the fight?
You know,
is this a thing you like?
No, this isn't something I like, but I guarantee I'm not going to miss it. I mean, you know, this is something that's it's important enough of an activity. And any type of a sporting event, no matter what it is, you know, I love sports. I mean, I love horse racing. I love baseball to watch. So, I mean, I'll still watch the Royals, you know what I mean, and kind of turn that over to that, too. So go ahead, Doug.
Nebraska baseball plays this afternoon, 3:05. We'll air it on ESPN 1550. We talked about Hastings College baseball just about ready to get underway on 1230 KHAS as they take on Doan. Doan got upset yesterday, so it's a loser's bracket game. You hate to take on one of the top seeds, and that's what Hastings has to do. But if they win, maybe that opens it up for them. And UNK got beat 10-5 last night against Central Missouri. They play tonight, must win to force a game three tomorrow afternoon. Nebraska softball third in the conference, Illinois fourth. The teams play in Lincoln in a three-game series this week. As well, a couple of other. We talked about the freshman Tolbert getting the marijuana pickup by UNL yesterday. Scott Baldwin was he wasn't on the Lawrence, quite to the Lawrence Willis, but Scott Baldwin was a rough story when it came to Nebraska athletics. If you're younger, you have no idea about Scott Baldwin. If you're our age, you know about him. He passed away at the age of 45, a football player that did a few things that weren't right. Was declared mentally incompetent. Then, you know, he's put on the drugs, he's put on his medicine, he comes off his medication, does something else, gets shot, ends up paralyzed in a wheelchair. And according to news releases, it says that he had a recent surgery that didn't go well, left him in a coma and life support, and passed away on Wednesday at the age of 40. A couple of other notes here. On a more positive note, we've got a record number of athletes that are competing in the 46th Cornhusker Trap Shoot over at Donovan. 961 yesterday, over 1,600 today and tomorrow. Soccer districts get underway for most teams on Monday, just like the Kearney High boys. They'll take 11-7 record in, and they're playing, I think, some of their better soccer here over the last 2-3 weeks. And Bearcat head coach Scott Steinbrück joins us. Scott, thanks for the time and taking away a little lunch from you here.
Hey, that's quite all right. Always a pleasure to be on the Doug and Daddy Show talking soccer.
Well, are you playing your best soccer right now?
Yeah, I think you just said it. The last couple weeks have been pretty good for us. A little blip on the radar would maybe be our first half against Hastings on Tuesday night. You know, that game's a great example of just how mental high school athletics can be. We had beaten Hastings 4-0 relatively easily earlier in the year at the GNAC tournament. I think our kids saw the Millard West game on the horizon and the district tournament on the horizon and probably didn't give Hastings maybe quite the respect that they deserved, and Hastings flat out whipped us in the first half. We were down 2-0, got a goal back late, but just couldn't get over the hump. And in all honesty, I told the guys after the game that might have been the best possible thing that could have happened to us, is to face some adversity. We hadn't been scored on in 5 or 6 games, and I think by having some adversity and a little bit of a late season wake up call, our kids were really focused and really determined last night against Millard West. To go to Millard West on their senior night, get a 1-0 win, that was a huge statement for our guys and a huge confidence boost heading into Monday.
Well, you guys, I think, and you can correct me at any time, but down a little bit on the goal scoring, and that'll happen when you're not 15-2 like you guys have been here recently. But you're a little down, and you really rely on Dan Coble and Austin Mishu to get the job done. They've got a majority of your goals. Is that okay? Do you have to coach differently when that's the case?
Well, there's no question. Goals have been a little bit hard to come by throughout the course of the season. But, you know, the thing I like, you mentioned two guys, Daniel Coble and Austin Mishu. They have been scoring big goals, clutch situations, late in the games, in second halves. You know, they've really been rising to the occasion. So we've gotten better offensively. We've really learned to trust our defense. I know last year we scored more goals, but we gave up a lot of goals, where our goalkeeping has been unbelievable. Edwin Castillo had his 11th shutout last night. I mean, he is playing at an all-conference, borderline all-state level for us right now. Our two senior central defenders, Parker Follett and Garrett Kreitzer, you know, they've done a great job of keeping things organized. And then we have some freshmen and a junior and a sophomore that are kind of in the defensive rotation as well there. So Our senior goalkeeping and central defenders have been great. Our defense has kept us in every game, and it's allowed our offense, guys like Daniel and guys like Austin, you know, to rise to the occasion. And knowing that if we get one, you know, that might be enough to get ourselves a win. Last night was a defensive struggle. We got one. We said, I think we can make this hold up, and the kids believed that, and sure enough, they got it done.
Coach Jim Langan here. Hey, talk a little bit. Hey, how you doing? Talk a little
Very
bit
good.
About West Side and Norfolk a little bit. It looks like Norfolk might get by Lincoln High. You know, talk a little bit about your district and what you think you need to do there.
Well, districts, you know, it's a long trip to Norfolk. Looking at the host school, Norfolk, we've played there once already. They beat us 2-0 in the regular season, and then it was a 0-0 tie in the conference championship. They beat us in a penalty kick shootout. So from that standpoint, I feel like we've closed the gap on them. You know, they really beat us easily that first time, so I feel like we've closed the gap. You know, if you're looking at the opportunity to go to a Norfolk versus going to an Omaha South or a Creighton Prep or a Lincoln Southwest, that's probably a little friendlier of a draw from the one seed perspective. On the other end of the spectrum, the three seed that nobody wanted to play was Omaha Westside. They were the state runner-up last year. They are loaded with club-trained talent. They're a little young this year. They had a large senior class last year, which probably explains some of their ups and downs. But if you look at their schedule, it's every weekend they're playing Papio South, Omaha South, Millard North, Millard West, Creighton Prep. Their strength of schedule is immensely higher than ours. And we have a few of those teams mixed in, and then along with a number of GNAC teams, but they're playing the heavyweights every single weekend. They beat the state's number one team about a week and a half ago, 2-0, and really handled them rather easily. Unfortunately, that's the game that they ended up having to forfeit, which caused them to fall in the wild card standings quite a bit. Sure enough, they landed in our district. But I'm glad that game is being played in Norfolk, though. I'm glad we don't have Westside in Omaha. That means we're both getting on a bus for a few hours and heading to a neutral site to play.
Scott Steinbrook with us for another minute. Kearney High soccer coach. We mentioned a couple, three of your kids. You threw out the goaltending, which you think is a little bit better this year.
Yeah, Edwin is growing up. He played a little bit of goalie for us. But then his first couple years in our program, you know, he split a little bit of time at goalkeeper, but he was really good on the field. He was a pretty good forward as a 9th and 10th grader. And then as an 11th grader, we just had a real need for playing some goalie. So, again, he played there a little bit, shared some time with Jacob Garlitz, who's our number two goalkeeper right now. But in the off season and our club season, Edwin just really embraced the role. You know, sometimes you get to that senior year, it's just real fun to see a kid's confidence grow, his leadership grow. And I can't say enough good things about Edwin. Our goalkeeper's coach, Robert Mishu, has done a great job mentoring him and helping him with some of the fundamental things. But we've had several All-State goalkeepers at Kearney High over the years. Lance Johnson, Quincy Bennett, Dylan Miller. Our school record for shutouts in a season is 13. You know, the fact that we're approaching that number now, who knows how many games we have left. I'd love to see Edwin get that. You know, that's a statement right there. 11 shutouts. Anytime you get to double-digit shutouts in Class A, you know, that's a statement from by your goalkeeper as well as from the defenders playing in front of him.
Scott Steinbrook, hey, best of luck to you and the soccer team, okay, buddy? We want to see you playing for another couple of weeks.
Very good. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Scott, before we let you go, and I prepped him on this, and I said, Scott will no longer be the basketball coach at Kearney High. I want to know from you, since we haven't had a chance to talk, what kind of talent, what kind of team you think, what kind of kids you're leaving behind with the program for next year.
Well, I'll answer the last part of that first. What kind of kids? I think anybody that follows Kearney High Athletics knows that we are incredibly blessed with high character kids from good families that are very supportive of our program. Drake Bronick coming in. I've known Drake and his dad for a long time. You know, he's going to work awfully hard, and he has a good group of kids coming in. Just some of the kids that were juniors this year that played big roles for us. Jake Waller, Austin Murray, Zach Ryan, some of those guys were in the lineup, in the starting lineup a lot of the year. Those kids are primed for a good summer season, and hopefully they can stay healthy through their other sports. And they're just such good kids, and I'll definitely miss coaching them. But they're going to work hard. They're going to represent Kearney High well, as will Drake, and I think our program will continue to be successful.
Scott, if you had just one comment about what we've talked about, Kearney, you haven't had the luxury of having a 6'8" or a 6'10" kid. People look at outside of the Omaha-Lincoln area, okay, Norfolk's doing well. Well, you look at the kids they're getting. They've got that, we talk about cyclical, the dads end up being great, and so now it's time for their kids to roll through. What's the one thing that if you had the magic genie lamp and you could rub it, you'd say, we've got all these hardworking kids and they bust their butt. Well, what's the one thing Kearney needs to get over the hump?
Taller people? I don't know if that's the right way to answer that question or not. But, you know, you mentioned Norfolk, and Ben Reese is one of my closest friends in the coaching profession. And he and I kind of joked a little bit that he had more 6'6 or taller players in his program this year than I had had in my 9 years of a head coach at Kearney High School. So that's nothing that we're going to fix, you know, here at Kearney High School. It's just, you know, just we haven't been blessed with a lot of size. Who knows? We have some kids that look like they could, you know, in our 7th and 8th grade youth programs right now, they look like that they could maybe, you know, sprout up to get to that 6'5 or 6'6 range, which in Class A, that's what everybody has. You know, that's something that everybody has, you know, especially with our Metro Conference. But I think you know, Kearney High wants to keep that identity of the, you know, of that hard-nosed, hard-fought. You know you're in for kind of a good old back-alley scrap when you play the Bearcats. And then it's just a matter of, you know, getting kids to, you know, commit to developing skills. You know, if we're not going to be more athletic than some of these teams, which if you saw us play Omaha Central in the district tournament, we're probably never going to be more athletic than Omaha Central. You know, then it comes down to kids that are just committing time outside of the 3 month basketball season to becoming the best players that they can become.
And go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Scott, I refereed you for numerous years as an assistant and as a head coach, and I do appreciate what you did as an official. We go into a lot of games, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, and we know we're easy targets. Officials are easy targets, and during that game, it is real easy for a coach to blame it on the referees and say, hey, it's not my fault, and parents are very quick to join in, and so we're fans. But you never did that to me, and I really appreciate the fact that if you thought I missed something, you quickly said it, you let me know it, and then I'd run down to the other end, and we forgot about it. So thank you very much. Thought you were a class act when you did that as an assistant and as a head coach.
I appreciate you saying that, Jim. You know, I think when I first came to Kearney, I reffed just enough for Doug Koster and his Mr. Basketball team to appreciate of how darn hard of a job that is. As quickly as I got into refereeing, I got out equally as fast because I tell my kids, you know, on the basketball court and even the soccer field, because I'll blow the whistle in practice during some controlled scrimmages, and I tell them, hey, guys, I'm bad. I know I'm a bad referee. I'm a much better coach than I was a referee. But, you know, I appreciate you saying that because, you know, I have a lot of great relationships and friendships that I've made, you know, from a coaching standpoint with other coaches and with former players, but also with referees. I love going down to the state tournament, you know, and getting together for a burger and fries with some of my refereeing friends as well. So, you know, even though I won't be coaching basketball here at Kearney High next year, I definitely look forward to continuing those relationships with the people that I've met through coaching, and that includes officials as well. Some good friends out there.
Finally, Scott, and we'll let you get back to your day here. We know what it would mean if you answer yes. Would you like to coach basketball in the future somewhere?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that's on my radar. You know, I have a great job here at Kearney High School right now. I love my teaching assignment here at the class that I've had kind of the opportunity to build and develop over the course of the last 5 years. It's a ninth grade technology class that's a requirement for all of our kids here. And I love coaching soccer here, and some of my closest friends and some of my best relationships. I've been here 19 years, and 19 years, it's not something that it's just easy to walk away from. So my plans in the immediate future is just to keep being a business teacher here, keep being a PE teacher here, and, you know, just seeing what we can really do with our soccer program. We've gotten it to a pretty good spot over the course of the last 10 or 12 years, and now with the group of kids we have in our program now and the group of kids that we have, you know, we have coming up, we're just going to see, you know, where we can get that program to. But again, when you're part of basketball your whole life, you know, I grew up playing the sport, played it in high school, played it in college, and then I tell the story an awful lot, but I played at UNK for about a year and the preseason of the next year, and I didn't make the team. And I'll never forget that conversation I had with Coach Propp and Coach Lofton. You know, they had recruited some guys. I was a walk-on, you know, and I saw the writing on the wall. And I kind of sulked around for about one day. The next day, I walked up to Kearney High and met some guy by the name of Kyle Hayner, who I didn't know before. And then 19 years later, that was a pretty good run here at Kearney High School. So I do love the sport. So it may be a little bit hard for me to not be involved with hoops. I'm still involved with the youth program here. I'm the president of our youth basketball club. You know, so that in the immediate future, that will be my connection with basketball here locally. But in terms of the future, it's hard to say. There's always opportunities out there, and we'll just kind of see where it goes from there.
Always a class act, and Scotty, the silver lining might be you have more time to concentrate on your fantasy football.
Hey, I figured that's why you guys were calling today with that draft. I figured you wanted some fantasy football analysis there from somebody who invests a lot of time there. You're right.
Scotty, have a great weekend. Best of luck to you and the kids in this tough district. Let's see if we can come out on the other side.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Always good chatting with you.
Take care. Scott Steinbrück, Kearney High soccer coach, very gracious and answers our questions here today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's finish things up with our Fanatics Friday Trivium. We'll give you a question. We're going to go into our break, and then you're going to call us up and give us an answer. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read you the question. We're going to take our final break. During the break, we're going to try and give away a $25 gift card to Fanatics, where you can follow all of your favorite sports teams, whether it's watching the Huskers get drafted tonight, whether it's watching the Derby this weekend, anything, the playoffs, the NHL. It's all right there. Enjoy their great wings. You can have a great pizza. They've got a little bit different pizza than you can try there. They're always coming up with a little something different, and Fanatics is the place to be. So here is our trivia question. One winner per household every 3 months. Keep that in mind. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Kearney High track has been so awesome, and they have so many streaks. The streaks end, you kind of feel bummed. You shouldn't. You should feel elated. Another streak ended yesterday. Kearney, for the first time in 20 trips down to Omaha North, the boys didn't come away the winner. The girls did. Unbelievable. And the boys were right there. I still love when Roger Mattson says, it's not like we got eighth. We were right there in a tie for third, 10 points out of winning the whole thing. But with 89.5 points, this was the first time in 206 regular season meets that the Bearcat boys didn't hit 100 points. In what year, and it's before 2000, so you can take 2000 on before that, in what year was the last time that didn't happen? Where the Kearney boys didn't score 100 points. You may have seen this in the media today, but if you didn't, give us a guess. Last time before yesterday in a regular season that the Kearney boys didn't score 100 points in a meet. Give us the year. We'll give you a $25 gift card. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, Bo here from your local Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. It's time to shake off those winter coats and those extra pounds. Swimsuit season is right around the corner, and you don't want to wait until the last minute. Our new Embrace Kit has three scientifically designed products to help you lose fat, maintain lean muscle, all while keeping you healthy along the way. Stop into your Hastings, Kearney, or Grand Island GNCs for any health need and embrace a healthier you today.
GNC.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
We've waited all winter for this, the colors of spring. Steinbrink's Landscaping and Greenhouse has their roots planted right here, and no one brings you more color. Our colorful geraniums, hanging baskets, vegetables, herbs, and tomatoes will all flourish at your home because they come from ours. We're Central Nebraska's largest nursery and greenhouse with the best selection of trees, shrubs, roses, perennials, and ornamental grasses. Locally owned, locally grown. Come see the color at Steinbrink's, two blocks south of Highway 30 on 30th Avenue, Kearney.
Trampiag would like to wish the area graduates best of luck in their futures and congratulations on making it this far. Hard work and dedication will always pay off.
CHS Agri-Service Center would like to congratulate the graduating class of 2015, wishing them the brightest future in all that you do. You've come to a large milestone in life. Take the time to enjoy your day.
Laser Tech in Shelton is your office headquarters. Hats off to the area seniors of the class of 2015. Take the time to enjoy what you have done. Reach toward the future and never stop trying.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I must have given them a tough one. The last time the Kearney boys track team didn't score 100 points in a regular season meet, our clue was it was before 2000. I'll narrow it down. It was between 85 and 95. It's 206 meets ago. No one's got it yet. Our phone line's been blowing up over here, too, Jimmy. So while Brent continues to work on that, we'll say that I'm sure the Kearney boys will get another streak going here. They do have some great individuals, though, that once again are taking the jumps and the field events that they've been doing a great job in. So Roger and the gang still, that's one of the things that I don't even know how to describe it. I smile with an insane look when I see them always training like the week after track. Not has nothing to do with coaches. I'm just saying you see them out running, you see them out trying to do the best they can. And I know a lot of the area towns and schools do the same thing.
I remember Roger one time, we had him on the show, Doug, and he goes, hey, you know, the fastest kid in Nebraska has got to live in some town. You know, in other words, there's really not a whole lot of coaching to do with that one. You know, if you got a really fast kid, they can run the 100 meters. But all the other events, you know, there's some coaching involved in them.
Well, also yesterday, the Kearney boys finished fourth at the Capital City Golf Invitational, and they shot 303. That just shows how great Papillion, La Vista, Lincoln East, Fremont are. Grand Isle a little farther back in the pack, but medalists for Trout and Austin Murray and Cody Trout medaled for Kearney High. The Hastings St. Cecilia golf invite won by Bishop Newman. Central Catholic and Thayer Central tied for second, followed by Adams Central. Holdridge won the Hastings Tennis Invitational, and in track today, Holdridge and Ord are hosting invitationals as well. So it has been really, really busy, and we're almost here to the end. I'm going to be at the Lou Platt Conference track meet next Thursday over at Wood River. The Fort Kearney meet is going on today. We're just a couple of weeks away from District, State, Memorial Day. Holy cow, it's May 1st, Jimmy. What a month, though. What a month we had.
Good month for the Royals, Doug. You know, they ended last night beating Detroit April 30th, you know, so they have the second best, I think the second best, or tied for first with the best record in Major League Baseball. Four or five teams won 15 games, yeah. And the Houston Astros were one of them. Who saw that coming?
Wow. Get back in the National League, Houston. Get back over there in that easy division with the Cardinals and the Cubs. How about that? Try that. Before we leave, your Kentucky Derby pick is, and congratulations to Russ from Shelton, 1989. Was the last time that Kearney didn't get to that 100-point barrier. Russ gets a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Who are you taking in
the
Derby?
Well, I'm going to do, I'm going to take two horses. I told you I had a pretty good pick. I like that Stellar Wind. I also think that...
Today in the Oaks.
Yeah, in the Oaks. And Condo Commando, I think you got to play him on the ticket. And then I do in the ninth race. I really like that Haiti that I gave the people. But in the Kentucky Derby, I think American Pharoah, I think Firing Line are the two horses you can play. But Firing Line,
you like
would be
Firing
my,
Line, yeah, a little kind bit of a different.
Well,
pick.
No one else is picking him, and I if you watched his races, he took off a little too quick. I think the jockey misjudged it and thought he'd pull away, and Dortmund ran him down just at the wire. And I think he used too much horse trying to get there. If he'd have waited a little longer, and he will be in front. What I'm saying, he'll be in third or fourth or fifth place. So he's going to be in a good spot.
I don't know what to do with this foreign horse in this six hole. If you take them, they don't do anything. If you don't take them, they ruin
it. Every time. Yeah, well, it depends on if you bet them or not, how they run.
It would make it easier for me if the seven did scratch, like Gino said, and then that would bring in Michelle Yu's horse that she talked about yesterday into that 20 hole. So keep an eye on that. I like the 2-3. They're not going to bet Carpe Diem. The odds are going to go up. So I like 2-3, Carpe Diem, and Materiality. I do like, as a long shot possibility, the 12 International Star. And if you really want to get crazy, what was the 20 horse far right will be moving in a little bit, but I like the far right as well. So that's going to wrap it up. Happy wagering, everybody. We'll see you Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
See you later, Doug.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew.
Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.